Hopefully this mic picks up clear enough on the live stream. But we'll see how it goes here. It's a beautiful song and very true. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have Jesus to turn to. I just don't know. That would be a lonely existence. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. I'm not entirely sure how one would classify this sermon. I'm not sure what type it is. I don't know. I just felt led to this passage some time ago in my devotions, just in the last few weeks, I think it was. And I feel very clearly that there's some truths here for us. I'm not entirely sure if you could even call this a sermon. Maybe just a Bible study. I don't know. The format is definitely different. One thing I've been learning as I've been pastoring is it doesn't really matter what the format is. Going to school, you can get bent out of shape on making sure it's all exactly lined up just perfectly so it fits all the rules. But what matters is that we're teaching God's love and mercy and grace and teaching from His Word. That's what matters. So if you notice sometimes my pattern is different, I don't really care anymore. Because we need to share what God wants us to hear. And I feel like this is something that we need to hear this morning. And another thing I'm going to do differently this morning, this will look like a Wednesday night in how we're doing the scripture, but I'm not going to read the passages in its entirety to start. I just want to go verse by verse. And I'll address the verses as we get there. So just keep your Bibles open to Matthew 24. We're going to start with verse 3. But there's a question that has been asked many times, I feel. And I also feel like this question has been floating around for a long time. That question is my first point in my outline. Are we living in the last days? I think you should know me well enough to know that I don't like to talk about the last days. That's just not something I enjoy doing. I want to enjoy life, and I've shared that with you before, so I don't think that's a surprise to you. I also firmly believe the older you get, the more interested you are in leaving this world in its trouble. It's interesting, though, even with all the stress and the sickness and the chaos that's all around us, we still want to hang around here. It's almost like comparing this to someone that's in an abusive relationship. They don't want to leave that. Why? Because it's what they're used to. They feel a measure of comfort because they're used to that, even though they should go because it's safer to leave. You know what I mean by that? Therefore, I believe there is nothing spiritually wrong with feeling like we want to live here on earth. That's how God created us. We are to enjoy life, we're human, and that's how we're created. But I also believe that there are some very important truths that we need to be aware of, and I'm going to talk about them today. And those are the signs of the times. Have you ever asked the question or been asked the question, do you think we're living in the end times? I've been asked that many times. I've asked that question many times. And like I said, I don't like to talk about the last days because it kind of carries with it a little bit of a uncertainty, a bit of fear. But acting like it isn't a reality is foolish. If we aren't living in the last days right now, the last days will come. I mean, that's just how it works. We need to be ready for it. So Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciples asked this question of Jesus. Now as he sat at the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will the sign of your coming and the end of the age? What will be the sign of your coming? The humanity of the disciples is really evident here. The reason I know it to be so is because I've asked the same questions, they're asking the same questions I've wondered myself, and I'm sure you've asked the same type of questions. What do we need to be looking for? You know, what things will be showing up then, oh, I need to get my life in shape now because we're living in the last days. Will we know when the end of time is near? Is there going to be signs? Will we have a warning? And I'm sure if you're like me, you've thought about people in other countries and other times and ancient history even that have thought they were living in the end times many, many years ago. I think of individuals in the World War II era, maybe in Poland, who probably thought they were living in the end of time. I'm sure the people in Hawaii, when Pearl Harbor was attacked, I'm sure they thought the end of time was near. I think even more recently, 9/11, didn't we all think, you know, the end could be near? And I say that to say this, throughout the years, many people likely thought they were living in the end times. But the end times just kept dragging on and on and on, right? Christians being burned at the stake, sacrificed to lions, surely that was the last days, right? Well, some of that occurred over 1,000 years ago. Now, to be clear, I am not making light of anyone who says we're living in the last days. And honestly, I think we're much closer now than what we were, which is a stupid statement because everyone's closer to the end of your life now than you were yesterday. I mean, that's just reality. So I want to pose this question. Does knowing if we're living in the last days really matter? Think about that. So Jesus answers that a little bit and then explains some more in the next verse. Be careful to not be deceived. Jesus answered, verse 4, and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now I'm fully aware that this verse is explaining what's coming in verse 5, but I also feel that this applies to verse 3. Can we be deceived into thinking it really matters when the end is near? Can Satan use that as a distraction? The obvious answer is yes. It might sound all spiritual and pious to say we're living in the last days, you know. And I'm not making light of that. I think there's reality to it. But Satan can use that to distract us, take our focus off of what really matters. If we're so focused on the end and what is coming that it causes us to expend energy worrying about it and wondering about it, then we're not accomplishing anything that we're called as Christians to fulfill. Now, if we're using the last days as a reason to win more souls, then by all means use it. But don't allow the concern of the last days to cause you to curl up in a ball somewhere and wait for it to happen. Use it to stir us to action. And now onto the deception that Jesus was talking about. Be alert for false messiahs or saviors. In verse 5, he says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Jesus was warning his disciples that many people would try to proclaim that they were the new Messiah or the Savior of the world. And you have to understand, at that time, Jesus wasn't viewed like he is today. You know, we know he was the Messiah, we know he was the Christ, but when he first came on the scene, this wasn't well known. So people had to hear him out. They had to find out what he was all about. And it wouldn't have been hard for someone in that time period to come out and say, "No, I'm the Messiah. I'm the new Messiah. I'm the Savior." And Jesus was telling them, be careful. It's going to happen. And they needed to have their guard up. And I wonder, does that sound familiar? Have we had anyone recently, in recent years, proclaim that they're going to fix things? Under my leadership, things will get better. I don't care what political party you're a part of. I don't care even what country you hail from. All leaders today seem to do this. If someone comes and says that they are the answer and they are going to fix things, my guard immediately goes up because I think they're full of themselves. Why? Because it's an elevated and irrational view of yet another human with a big head. And I know from Scripture that Jesus is the only answer to the world's problems. And if someone says they're going to fix things, and they're obviously not turning to Jesus for their help, they are going to fail. And I believe that is a false Messiah or a false Savior. But then Jesus offers some comfort. He tells us not to be afraid. The next couple of verses, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, But I want you to get one phrase in particular out of it. Jesus is telling his disciples some of the things they're going to face and some of the things the Christians are going to face as the end draws near. And I honestly just like to skim right over this section because it's kind of scary. But we're told God's people are going to face some difficult times, and we have been facing difficult times. But follow along as I read verse 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Just reading that verse is scary, but doesn't it sound like today? There's conflict, there's fighting, there's rumors, there's all kinds of stuff floating around. But honestly, that's been happening a long time. Even back in Bible times, Rome was dominating the world, and actually, that's what Jesus was talking about here. He was talking about the current political scene that was happening right then. So what I want us to focus on is not the fact that we might face wars or we might face threats of war. They're scary. But Jesus says right here, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. I want you to focus on that phrase, don't be afraid, because we need that to get through the next several verses. So follow with me through verse 9 now. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. That sounds like today, doesn't it? All these are the beginning of sorrows, meaning you're just seeing the beginning of it. It's just starting. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's a couple of hard verses. Bear in mind that what we just read has already occurred in Bible times and was occurring. They're recorded in Scripture. Those events that just talked about are recorded in Scripture. There were lands back then that went to war with each other. There were natural disasters like we mentioned. God's people were attacked and killed. Think about the early church fathers like Stephen and Paul and Peter. The list goes on. What gets me in this section is that Jesus prefaced this section with the statement, don't be troubled. See, it's very easy as Christians to get all worked up and worried and afraid what we might face as Christians. But aren't we promised God will be with us through it all? It's concerning. Yeah, it is. But would you rather face it alone or with God? And what's the ultimate reward? In the end, I truly believe that these trials that we face, though they might be extreme, will be nothing compared to when we get to heaven. So instead of worrying about what might come and what we might have to face, instead focus on the fact that God is with us and he has things under control. Don't be troubled. Then Jesus warns about falling away and betrayal in verse 10. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Because of all that people face and how Satan's going to cause deception, many people will become offended or fall away. Possibly they fall away because they aren't trusting the Lord for their strength to make it through. And I want you to be clear to know that this word offended isn't they're ticked off or someone hurt their feelings. It means they're offended or they give up. They apostatize. And then after that, Christians who said they would be faithful, they're going to betray and hate other Christians. Do you see that happening today? I do. I see people who call themselves Christians attacking other Christians and saying they aren't Christians if you do this or do that. Or how can you call? It's heartbreaking to watch that. Jesus warns that this is, again, another sign of the end of time. And I'm going to say a bit more on that here in a little bit. But then Jesus talks about false prophets in verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Jesus is warning about a rash of people who claim to be teachers of the truth, but are really only telling lies. Now I ask you, does that sound like today? The longer I live, the more I see people trying to spread their version of what they believe to be true, and it's not based on God's word. And my watchword and song recently has been, if it's not out of God's word, then I'm not sharing it because it's not the truth. And the sad part is that these are professing Christians who occasionally hold high positions of influence. And that's why Jesus was so adamant about being careful. We can be so easily deceived. Pay attention. Be alert. A surefire sign of someone being a false teacher is if they sound spiritual, but they're really not using Scripture. And I want to tell you, I have an experience with people who can use all kinds of spiritual jargon, but it's not scriptural. But what I found recently to be more deceptive, and I even feel like people are sharing it are deceived, is when someone is using scripture, but taking it out of context to fit their agenda. And I used this as an example the other night when I was teaching at a VBS, one evening in a VBS. I think driving cars are a sin. So I want to prove that by searching the scriptures. And I can't find a single passage that talks about cars. So I must be right. Driving cars are a sin. It's not in scripture. That sounds foolish. But in reality, that's what different people are doing. They are finding things to support what they already think is true. It's very easy to find a single verse or single phrase to fit your agenda, and I've seen it happen so much. Several years ago, there was a preacher that was preaching at my home church camp that I had had it up to here with. And he was preaching because he didn't feel like the people that were coming to that camp, were dressed appropriately. He decided to preach at them. And the big problem was they were all wearing short sleeves. And so he preached on this subject, and his proof in Scripture that short sleeves were a sin was that when God made Adam and Eve coats, he said, "You've never seen a coat with short sleeves in, have you?" And that was his scripture. That was taking out of context just a little bit. And I want to tell you, that was a false teacher. Recently, something that has greatly, greatly concerned me, there is a rash of false teaching coming from a source, and I'm not going to name the source because I don't think it's necessary, but they are using very spiritually sounding terms, and they have swayed many Christians into following wholeheartedly their false teaching. And some of those people I know personally, and it breaks my heart. What is happening is Satan is using these avenues of false teaching to get Christians so distracted from their primary objective. Instead, they're focused on political injustices and baseless conspiracies. And if Satan can cause someone to become so sidetracked from being an emissary for Christ, he's done his job well. And I sincerely ask each one of you, there is so much information out there today. It is just rampant. Ask the Lord to keep you alert to anything that you might be reading or listening to or watching that would be deceptive, false teaching that would cause you to stray from focusing on serving Him to the best of your ability and witnessing for Him. So please keep your guard up. Jesus was really serious about this. And I feel it's only gotten worse with all this modern communication we have. The drop of a hat, you can have it. You can get it. And honestly, you search for it on Google, you'll find it. You search for anything on Google, you'll find it. It's out there. Doesn't matter how ridiculous or bizarre it is. Things spread so fast now. And something that is flat out false, if popular enough, can be a quickly trending topic. And if we're using false teachers as being, you know, abundant of false teachers as evidence of the end of times, then I think possibly we're living in the end of times because we have a lot of them out there. And then Jesus shares some chilling words, and I don't mean that with a pun. Don't let your love grow cold. Read verse 12 with me. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. because of all the iniquity, the lawlessness, the deception, the love for God in many hearts, will get cold. Honestly, of all the verses that we've read today, this one concerns me the most because this is what I'm seeing. There are so many things that can distract us from truly loving God with all we have in us. I see it all over. People are getting more and more careless with their relationship with God. And I want to ask you, is your love for God where it needs to be? I don't mean is there room for improvement, because there's always room for improvement. But is your love for God gone cold? Has the fire for being a Christian, the passion, the fervor, the zeal, has it gone out? Are you going through the motions that makes the appearance of a Christian, but deep down you've really lost interest? That's what we need to be alert to. It doesn't matter if we're living in the end of time or not. What matters is if you're on fire for God. Looking further down in chapter 24, you'll see examples of what happens when someone isn't ready to meet Jesus. We have that story of two men in a field and one is left. Two women grinding at the mill. One is taken and the other left behind. He tells about the servant who carelessly decides, since his master isn't showing up to see how things are going, he's just going to live high on the hog and waste everything the master gave him, and he wasn't prepared when his master came home. In chapter 25, we have the story of the foolish virgins that weren't ready to meet Jesus, or ready to meet the bridegroom, which of course is an analogy for Jesus coming back. These are all word pictures, and Jesus used so many of them, it was pretty obvious that he wanted us to get the point. We don't want to miss his return. I'll tell you what, I don't want to be left standing when Jesus comes back. I want my fire to be burning bright. And you know what else? This doesn't have to fill us with fear that somehow we'll miss out and we won't know it. We have to make the conscious decision to not follow Christ, and we have to consciously allow our hearts to grow cold by being careless. And Jesus shares then what will happen if we stay faithful and stay true. Look at verse 13. A really encouraging end to this message. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Yeah, it's going to get hard. It may be difficult. But look at the promise. If we endure, if we stay strong, if we don't allow our love for Jesus to grow cold, we'll be saved. Saved from what? An eternity of separation from Jesus. An eternity of torment. An eternity spent with the one who deceives us. To me, it's not really a question. It's not a question of what the smart choice is. I want to be among the group that endures. I want to see Jesus face to face. So like I said, I don't know if the end is near. I don't know if everything we're seeing is sign of the end times, but does it really matter? What matters is we stay faithful. To wrap up, I want to read verse 14. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And I've heard this verse used a number of times as evidence that every nation needs to hear the gospel, every tribe, every remote out village needs to hear the gospel before Jesus is going to come back. Now, that could be true. But I've also studied this, and what is commonly reported in the commentaries is that Jesus is talking about the known world of that time. The known discovered world was going to hear the gospel. Well, we know in Bible times the known discovered world then was very minute compared to what we know now. And the end coming here was referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened a long time ago. But I want to point out something to you with certainty. Jesus wants as many who are willing to come to him. Therefore, we can take from this verse that our solemn responsibility is to spread the gospel with as many as we can until he returns. If we stay true to him, keep our fires of our love burning brightly in our hearts, then we will desire to follow his commission of spreading his love to anyone that will listen. And you know what? It really doesn't matter whether this verse means the known world of that day or the known world of today. What matters is that we share the gospel with others. Because somehow, if we think, well, it's to every country and every tribe today, and if that happens, then we're like, oh, well, our job's done. No, our job's never done. We need to be continually spreading the gospel. So first, we need to be ready for his return whenever that may happen. And we need to tell others Jesus is coming back. Are you ready to go? Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll anoint Adeline.